This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. We've got two chapters from The Starseeds of Earth on the way on this episode. I debated. I've got two 9-minute long chapters, and I thought, well, you know, I could stretch each of those into its own episode. Just long enough. But let's put them together. You know, people want to hear a little bit of story, I think. You're listening. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think more story is bad. So chapters 72 and 73, about 18 minutes of story on this episode, as we begin to move the hornet's nest. Alibi Jones and company are on the verge of moving the hornet's nest. The space station, in a partially hollowed out planetoid, now floats in an asteroid field with support ships and careful planning. Alibi is hoping to use the new engines the Hornet's Nest has been equipped with to move the station, move the Hornet's Nest, out of the asteroids so they can be mobile and less of a sitting target. That's his theory, anyway. The process gets underway as we get into these chapters, chapters 72 and 73 of The Starseeds of Earth, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. In book news, I want to thank my patrons. It is that time of the month, and thank you once again for helping to support Glow in the Dark Radio and keeping the lights on, as it were. My thank you to my patrons, and if you want to get in on that and help support the podcast, always welcome, of course. You can go over to patreon.com. That's where I have my Glow in the Dark Radio patron page. So it's patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And you can sign up for $2, $5, or $10 a month and help support the podcast if you want to become a patron. Or if you just want more information, just head over there and see what it's about. patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and just click on the link for Patreon. I'd like to encourage you to leave reviews. If you can, if you have a chance, please leave reviews of this podcast, of any of my books, audiobooks, text versions, prose versions. Please leave reviews if you have a chance and you've enjoyed what you've heard. Your review is like gold. So if you have a chance to lay one down, please do so. You know how every once in a while Amazon or one of those places will be like, hey, you want to leave a review of something? If that happens, think of it and go, oh yeah, I wanted to leave a review of one of Mike's books. I mean, if so inclined, don't mean to be twisting your arm. But we do have two chapters from The Starseeds of Earth waiting in the wings, coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Are you having trouble keeping up with the ebbs and flows of modern geekery? Is the real world holding you back from knowing what is happening in the geeky world? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends, gaming group, and loved ones, Geek Radio Daily presents daily informational sessions brought to you by the wonderful Billy Flynn, the Flynnstress, and podcasting's Rich Siegfried. They contain such helpful segments as history, geek birthdays, box office results, the latest in DVD and Blu-ray, video game and comic releases. Why, they also have a weekly show hosted by the wonderful Billy Flynn and the Flynnstress. which includes interviews and commentary. And to make sure you are informed, Geek Radio Daily also provides you with your daily dose of geek news to make sure you know more than that jerk know-it-all Steve. Visit us at geekradiodaily.com. That's right, Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. Now available in fine Corinthian leather.
Now here's Chapter 72 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio.
"We are clear," Hong said over the comm. "Moving into position." "Okay," Alibi said. He keyed in the control room. "Hong is clear. Initiate the emergency drill." The Nest's emergency drill would close the main door that led to all of the ship's bays and shut down external communications, allowing them to begin the big move without anyone inside knowing. "Emergency drill initiated," Emily said from the control room. "Main door closing sequence countdown started. Closing sequence initiates in 30. She counted it down to zero. "Main door closing sequence starting." Alibi and the AD Foster, perched in space in front of the Nest, before the side they designated the bow of the station, had a clear view of the giant door as it began to shift and close. The door moved so slowly at first, it was nearly imperceptible, but it sped up as it went, until it again began to slow its progress nearing closure. "Main door closed," Emily said over the comm, confirming the visual evidence. "Begin main engine sequence," Alibi said. "Main engines are powering up now," Emily said. "Now I wish I was back there, so I could see those engines start to glow." "Okay," Alibi said. "Everybody check in with me again." He looked over at the goldenrod. "Laurel, you ready?"
"Ready, Alibi," she said.
"Hong, you in position yet?"
"Almost, Alibi."
"Hector, you see him?" Alibi asked.
"We have a visual," Hector said over the comm. "He's coming along the port side now."
"Get on up next to Hector, Hong," Alibi said. "Kit, how are things to starboard?"
"We are here, Alibi,"
Kit confirmed over the comm. "DJ, you there?"
"Still right here, Alibi," she said.
"You two have visuals on each other."
"Check," DJ said. "That's a cute little Dakor light fighter you got there, Kit."
"I see her ship," Kit said. "Thank you, DJ."
"How are things topside, Grizz?"
"Good to go, Alibi," Grizzly said. "I see Gentry here, too."
"Yep, Gentry checking in,"
he said over the comm before Alibi could call on him.
"And I've got visuals on Grizz there, too."
"How are things on the bottom, then, Bob Bond?"
"On the down low, flying solo," Bob said over the comm. "I'm bored enough to rhyme, but I'm here. At this time."
"Bobby, that is really bad poetry," Hector cut in.
"Very bad," someone else chimed in.
"This is how you people do this shit." Alibi thought that was DJ.
"Can't let this get out of hand. Gentry broke my authority, the bastard."
"Get it together, Bob. No more rhymes," Alibi said. "You're distracting Hector."
"Sorry, Alibi."
"We almost got through this," Alibi said. "Let's go back to Gentry. Gentry, are you in position?"
"There, you bastard."
"Right where I told you I was, Alibi."
"Grizz, can you confirm a visual on Gentry's ship?"
"Confirmed, Alibi."
"Gentry, confirm a visual on Grizz's ship."
"Confirmed."
"Thank you," Alibi said. "Bob, confirm you are in position bottom side."
"Confirmed," Bob said.
"Katie, you in place back behind the stern?"
"Check, Alibi," Katie said. "We are in place."
"Give me a triple check on the integration of the plotting and planning predictions with your ship's systems," Alibi said. "One more time around. Ping back to the control room and see if there's been any degradation with your copy." He gave them about 30 seconds to comply, then called out each of the other 9 one at a time to be sure they were ready. No major degradations reported back. Their ship systems were able to hold the fairly intricate calculations required for the projections intact.
even as he had them check a third time. Katie, how do those engines look back there?
They're glowing, Alibi, Katie said. Looks like they're ready to go to me.
Emily, we're ready to go out here when you are.
Right on schedule, she said.
Nice. There was a pause as she consulted her displays.
Sync up, she said. Main engines start in 1 minute.
She counted them down to it.
3, 2, 1, 0. Main engine start.
The proximity sensors on the bridge of the A.D. Foster began registering movement towards the ship. The Hornet's Nest was moving. Alibi and the Foster and Laurel and the Goldenrod would have to stay in front of the nest to clear any directly approaching threats.
There's a rock coming in on your 2 o'clock, Alibi called over to the Goldenrod.
Yep, I see. The program has it, and we've got it, Laurel said.
The Goldenrod blasted the rock and deflected it away.
Good job, Alibi complimented her.
Yeah, thanks, Alibi, she said over the comm. I need to concentrate, so let's not chatter so much, okay?
Sure, he said. He needed to concentrate as well. He knew he wouldn't have to blast anything for about an hour, but he should be scanning carefully to see if any other stray, uncharted debris was coming their way. The Hornet's Nest couldn't be moved too quickly, while the artificial G inside would keep everyone fairly well rooted to a point. If the nest gained too much momentum, it would begin to be perceptible inside, eventually leading to major problems with G-forces as the artificial G systems burned out, trying to compensate for the stresses. It was a long, slow, methodical process, which also made it easy for a ship to maintain a position next to the nest. It still allowed its captain to fly out to a distant enough point to blast away and deflect incoming rocks and debris and return. Every so often, Alibi checked in with the other ships, trying to keep them alert. 2 hours in, he was calling around again. Grizz and Gentry were fine. Laurel said she was good. DJ and Kit seemed to be getting along. And Katie and Bob Bond were their usual professional selves.
Hong, how are you doing?
Good, Alibi, Hong said over the comm. We just blasted a rock right out of the way. That was kind of fun. Flying back in now. Hey, what's that?
What's what, Hong?
We've got visuals on something. Looks like a ship.
Hong was gone. No signal.
Hector, you got visuals on Hong? Just lost his signal.
We've got visuals of an explosion near his last position, Hector said. You think he missed his target, maybe crashed?
Just before his signal cut, he said he saw another ship, Alibi said. Watch out, Hector.
Watching out, Hector said.
Oh shit, yeah, we've got some company. Solar Alliance Stinger ship.
Just one?
All I can see, only one, but that's visuals only, Hector said. Scanners aren't registering anything. Don't know if there are more I can't see.
Keep looking, Alibi said.
What's it do? Damn, lost it, Hector said. It's hiding, I swear, Alibi. Just backed off into the rocks around us.
Might only be one of them, then, Alibi said. At least for now. So they'll only do surprise attacks while we have superior numbers.
Why are they attacking? Hector asked.
Because we're changing the rules of the game, Alibi said.
Oh, Jesus, will you listen to yourself?
Laurel Eden said, cutting in over the comm.
Get over yourself, Alibi Jones. This isn't a game.
Alibi checked on her ship. It wasn't next to his anymore. And it wasn't supposed to be off blasting a rock at the moment.
Where'd you go, Laurel? Alibi called.
I didn't go anywhere, she said. I'm right here, where I've been.
Really?
Not a game? Then why the mind games?
Alibi, I'm picking up the Goldenrod, Bob said. She's down near the surface of the Hornet's Nest. Looks like she's docking in an airlock.
Laurel, what are you doing? Where are you going? Alibi demanded.
I've been in here the whole time, you idiot, she said to Alibi. Taking care of my business while you all left me alone to do it.
God, it's true. You want to distract a man and make him trust you? Fuck his brains out. Once his brain's gone, you can get away with murder.
Or at least a starseed.
Chapter 73.
A starseed? Alibi said.
Oh, stop acting stupid, Alibi, she said, if you can. Damn, you have been sitting on this priceless treasure and all you do is talk about it.
Grizz, are you hearing this?
I am, Alibi, Grizz said. I'm not reaching Dietrich.
The idiot sealed off internal communications, Laurel said. Nothing in or out while they move this thing. Had to find a workaround for that so I'd sound like I was on my bridge. And now I am.
Alibi heard a commotion in the background, over the comm.
We're taking fire, Laurel said. Blow the airlock!
The comm cut off.
Goldenrod has taken off again, Bob said. Hector, looks like she's coming up on your side.
She just blew the airlock and killed about 7 people, Emily said over the comm. We could hear her, but didn't want to give that away. Almost stopped her.
You heard her? Alibi said.
Yes, Emily said. Idiot.
For the moment, Alibi didn't know what to say.
Fucked up on this one, for sure. Idiot.
She's got the starseed, Emily said. She had your key to the blue room, Alibi.
She got into the blue room?
Yes, into the blue room, thanks to you, she said. She knew what she was looking for. Must have taken that key to the starseed room from your apartment, I'd imagine.
She was giving him shit, but also letting him know Laurel didn't get the stuff they'd taken out from inside of the starseed. Just the now empty shell from the blue room.
Hector, you see her? Alibi asked.
You are not going to like this, Hector said.
What?
She just blew past us out towards that Stinger ship's last location, Hector said. Looks like they're going to rendezvous.
With a Stinger ship?
Yeah, looks like that's what's happening, Hector said. Again, that Stinger seems to be able to jam my scans, so I can only go on visuals.
I'm on my way, Alibi said. He kicked the Foster into gear and headed to Hector's position.
Alibi, what are you doing?
Going after her, he said, in that Stinger ship.
You can't, she said. You're the only ship out in front now, and we can't stop moving the Hornet's Nest. Not now.
Shit.
Alibi, it's Katie.
Go ahead, he said.
DJ can handle her starboard side fine by herself, I'm sure, Katie said. If you want Kit to come take your place, so you can go take a look at the situation.
Kit? You hear what Katie just suggested? Alibi asked.
Send me a copy of your target plotting for the rocks in front, Kit said. DJ will be just fine by herself. I believe she was getting bored with the two of us sharing the duties, starboard side.
Nah, I'm not bored, DJ said. Been cool talking to a Dakur. Haven't had the chance to do much of that before. Go ahead and cover the front, Kit.
Alibi waited until Kit's one-seater flitted around from starboard to take his place.
Go ahead, Alibi, Kit said,
as his little fighting ship approached from Alibi's right.
Alibi turned the Foster in the opposite direction and hit the thrusters, heading out in a curving arc away from the front before blasting back across the port side of the nest.
Alibi tried scanning for the goldenrod as he came around, and to see if he could pick up the Stinger ship Hector sighted that got Hong.
Laurel's ship came up on the display, flying away from the nest, but nothing else.
Alibi banked his ship to descend closer to the nest's surface once he saw Hector holding position down there.
Hey, Alibi, Hector said. I have you on scans and visuals now.
Just spotted you, Hector, Alibi said. I picked up Laurel's ship on my scans, but nothing else.
That Stinger is close to her position, I think, Hector said. Still on visuals only. Every so often I get a glint off metal or glass from it, but it's mostly been hiding, probably.
Maybe it's some kind of scout, Alibi said.
Or just a plain old spy, Hector said.
Or the backup for a lying, betraying, using, hypocritical woman.
Alibi felt a twinge of guilt for abandoning his place in front, and for completely misjudging and being fooled by Laurel.
Head back in the game,
Grizz, Gentry? Alibi called on the comm. You two help keep an eye on the front of the nest just in case, okay?
Roger that, Gentry said.
Roger?
Roger who?
Grizz said. He laughed. Will do. Alibi laughed in spite of himself.
Sometimes a little dumb humor is just the thing.
You okay down there, Bob? Alibi said.
Just swatting rocks, Alibi, Bob said.
Everybody keep your eyes open for other stinger ships, Alibi said. Or even that same one again.
Poor Han. And those people inside, too. People do crazy things for those starseeds.
They were still moving slowly through the asteroid field, the new massive main engines and smaller directional ones keeping the entire small planetoid the Hornet's Nest was built into propelled on course.
I gotta go get a rock, Hector said. Don't let them shoot me.
I'll cover you, Alibi said.
You go.
I'm going the long way, so they don't think I'm flying at them, Hector said.
Sounds wise, Alibi said.
Alibi scanned the starfield around them, looking for any trace of the Stinger ship.
How does Hector see anything but stars? Maybe I should try scanning with my mind, see if I can sense anything.
Alibi began to open the mental doors to his mind, to see if he could sense a ship or something.
Screaming!
Alibi slammed the doors of his mind shut.
Didn't expect that.
A mind close by was screaming, not coherently. Alibi tried to find an equivalent for the rage and chaos he heard in that mental scream.
A berserker, maybe? Or a barbarian in battle? Could be both, I suppose. And not just angry, but confused, too.
Alibi braced himself and opened the doors of his mind again, imagining mental sound shields to mitigate the volume of the brainy blast.
Screaming!
And then it stopped, silent.
Alibi heard another mind speak, loud and clear, as if the other person was on the bridge of the A.D. Foster with him. And Alibi knew who the other person was when he spoke.
Another one, Hap said, frustrated.
It was definitely Hap. He was broadcasting his thoughts at high volume, and some flavor of his personality came through, identified him.
If the volume he's mentally projecting at is any indication, Hap has gotten incredibly strong. And he's likely on board that Stinger ship.
Alibi shut his double doors tight. He didn't want Hap to know he'd discovered him. He put two and two together, or tried to.
Laurel stole that starseed for Hap? How would Hap get a Stinger ship? Use his mind? Shit. He's dangerous. This is bad.
Alibi spotted Hector's engines, far distant from the last known location of the Stinger, and where they were tracking Laurel's ship. Flashes, a short distance ahead of the ship, gave evidence of the Libra Compista's guns at work, blasting a rock out of their path. Alibi checked Laurel's ship's trajectory. No change. She didn't care about Hector blasting rocks. He looked up from the heads-up display to see if he could make out her engines on visual.
Oh, there they are. I can see it. Oh shit, there's the Stinger ship too. Pulling up into that momentarily clear space next to her. She's pulling alongside. Oh, for Pete's sake, she's docking with them. Rendezvousing with the Stinger. She's either working for Hap, or they're both working for someone else.
That was Chapter 73 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. And we heard Chapter 72 as well.
Or they're both working for someone else? Things and people are coming together, and not necessarily in a good way for Alibi Jones. Hap's now on the scene. Laurel stole the starseed casing. She thinks she has it. The whole thing, but she's got at least the outside of it. And
They are moving the hornet's nest. Alibi and company are moving the thing, so everything's in motion. That's where we'll pick things up in our next episode with Chapter 74 of The Starseeds of Earth. My thanks again to my patrons who help keep this podcast going. And if you want to find out more about being a patron, what that's all about, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio is the place to go. Or go to Glow in the Dark Radio and click on the link for Patreon. And I want to remind you again, if you have a chance, please review this podcast or any of my books. It helps a great deal. Your review is like gold. So if you have a chance, please do so. That is all for this week. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation,
copyright 2022
by Michael F. Luoma, and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.